Let's pray together. Lord God, we come to this place this morning. We thank you that we can be here. And we are here because we need you. We are here because we need you to be the center of each one of our lives. And a part of making that happen is to be in the presence of our brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage each other, to learn from each other, and to worship you together. So Lord God, this morning as we've come into this place, we would pray that your presence would be felt amongst us here. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the time that we've already spent worshiping together, that we won't just forget about it, but that we'll remember these words of these songs that we've just sung, the fact that we need you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that as we take time to have communion together this morning, that it'll be a meaningful time of communion of us with you. We pray this in your name. Amen. So just two things I want to throw out there real quickly before we kind of get into leading up to communion. Last week, if you were here, we had our VBS closing program. And man, did they do a great job. It was so fun to see the excitement of the children through the whole course of the week leading up to that. And then last week as we gathered together as well. That only happens because of all of you guys. Because of you that say, hey, you know what, I can help in the kitchen, I can help lead a crew, I can help with games, I can help with audio video, I can help with whatever it might be. There's so many different pieces to that puzzle. So we're all a part of that process, but it takes somebody to lead that process. And I would like for us just to thank him this morning. It's a huge job, and she just does such a great job of leading that process and getting us all together and getting us all on the same page. So thank you, Kim. The other piece that I want to just recognize this morning and do a quick thank you to is you guys will remember 2 weeks ago, if you were here, that there were some audio problems that morning. Like everything wasn't working pretty much is what I understand. And that was the day the VBS was starting. If you're ever here for VBS, audio, video stuff, all that is used a lot during VBS. So my understanding is that we had guys from our tech crew that were here from morning service all the way to the beginning of VBS, through VBS, making adjustments, running wires, doing whatever it is that they had to do to make it happen, diagnosing what the issue was, getting new parts, installing them over the course of last week so that we are back up and running normal this morning. Again, lots of people are a part of that process. But this morning, I want to particularly thank Dave Clark. Dave has stepped up as our ministry director for multimedia stuff. And man, what a way to jump into it, Dave. We'll just throw some big things at you right off the bat. But let's give Dave a round of applause and his crew. We are so thankful for each of you that serve here in so many different ways. But I just wanted to take a moment to recognize those two things. One of the dangers that I believe that there is every time that we do communion together is the possibility of us not taking it as seriously as I believe it is meant to be taken. It's an ordinance by God given to us. It's an instruction to us to come to the table and to take the bread and to take the cup and to do it in remembrance of him. It's not an instruction to each one of us to just go through the motions again. And that's the concern that I think oftentimes pastors have when we come to this time of communion. I don't want it to be just going through the motions again. It's not just a tradition that we do together as a church that has really no meaning to it. This is an instruction from God that we do together as a church this morning that has incredible, incredible meaning to it. Most of you have probably heard, and I think I've even shared it one other time, the story of a young husband who he found his wife at home getting the Sunday roast ready. And as she was getting it ready that morning, she took out a big knife and she cut off the one end and she cut off the other end of the roast. And then she put it all into the roasting pan. And he asked his wife, he said, "Why do you cut off the ends of the roast?" And his wife said, "Well, that's because that's the way my mother did it. And it's a tradition. That's how I do it." He thought, well, that's kind of odd. So he wanted to figure out why, the why piece to this. So he went to her mother and he asked her the exact same question. Why is it that you cut the ends off to the roast? And she said, well, that's the way my mother did it. Well, thankfully, Grandma was still alive. So he went to Grandma and he said, why is it that you cut off the ends of the roast? And she said, well, she said, it's really actually pretty simple. We had one roasting pan in our house and it wasn't big enough to hold a roast. So this tradition started of just cutting the ends off all the way down for no reason, right? Because the way we've always done it. I never want communion to be the tradition of just cutting off the ends of the roast because it's the way that we've always done it. We need to take time, and that's why I do this. You'll notice that when we do communion here, it's not something we just throw on to the end of the service and get up and do and then head out the door. That's why whenever we do communion, I take time to teach on communion, to try to teach an aspect of communion or have some thoughts about what it is that we're about to do. Because it's such an important time for us as believers. From the book of Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning to the end of the Bible, I believe God aimed, that his aim has really been to bring his people into fellowship with himself, into communion with himself. And one of the great joys of experiencing that fellowship is the fact that we can eat and drink in the presence of the Lord together. I think it would be healthy for our church, for every church, when they take communion, to recapture a more vivid sense of God's presence at the table of the Lord when we come forward. When we partake in communion in just a few moments this morning, the Lord's Supper, as some call it, we don't just drink from a cup and eat a wafer of bread and think reflective thoughts about Jesus. I think that that certainly is a part of the experience of communion. It's a part of it. However, I think we also must remember that he is here. Jesus is here in our midst. He is in our presence. We are in the presence of the King this morning. What we are doing this morning is communion with our King. Jesus said, "Where there are two or three gathered in my name, there am I in their midst." Jesus is here today. Not literally in the bread or in the cup, as some believe, but here in our presence. He is here in those of us who believe. He is here dwelling among us collectively as a church. He is here communing with us this morning. We sit today in the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who suffered and died for each and every one of us. Knowing that we are in the presence of the King this morning, I would like for us to reflect on a few thoughts about the King and communion, what we're going to be doing together. The first thought is this: the King decides who's invited. The King decides who's invited. Any passage in New Testament that talks about communion, Jesus has instituted communion for the church. That's who he instituted it for. For believers in Jesus Christ. That's who it's significant for. That's who it's intended to participate in communion. It's for the church. It's not for Fairland Church. It's not for the church down the street. It's for the church, the capital C church. So as we gather together here as believers and we know Jesus Christ, what we're doing today, Jesus says, is for you if you know Christ. Jesus determines who is invited to the meal today. And he's determined that it's for anybody that knows him. As we take communion this morning, if you're visiting with us, that's great. You are invited to the table. This isn't Fairland's community table or communion table. This is the church's communion table. We just happen to be an outpost this morning that's doing communion. So you don't have to be a member here. You don't have to attend here regularly. You don't have to be a certain age. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you understand why it is what we're doing this morning, as Jesus did, you are invited to take communion this morning. Because the King decides who is invited. The other thought is the King deserves honor as we come to the table. Jesus deserves honor from each one of us, and I believe that we can honor Christ at his table in a number of different ways this morning. I think it starts by examining ourselves. 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 11, it talks about communion, and it talks about the importance of examining ourselves when we come to the table, before we come to the table. So we should be asking ourselves this morning, in a way of showing honor to God, to our King, we should be asking ourselves questions. Why are we sitting at the Lord's table today? Why have we come? Are we in the right frame of mind this morning? Are our attitudes right? Are our motives right? Am I just taking communion this morning because I feel pressure from people that are sitting around me? That's not the right motive. We should be asking ourselves, have I really trusted Christ to be my Savior? Am I living in obedience to what I know his word teaches? Is Christ in me? Consider this. Today, you're sitting at the Lord's table. What does he see when he looks across the table at you? Does he look upon you as one of his children? Is he pleased with what he sees? Is he happy with what is in your heart? Remember, Scripture teaches us that God knows what's in our hearts and our minds. No matter if you and all the world are satisfied, are you in a right place with God? Is God satisfied? We give honor to the King by examining ourselves. We also give honor to the King by confessing any known sin in our lives. So again, looking at questions, right? Is there sin in your life? Christ died on a cross to set us free from sin. That's the good news. He died to eradicate it from our lives. He came to destroy its power over you. When we get tangled up in the life of sin, it literally takes control over our lives. Because now our focus is no longer on Jesus Christ, but our focus is on hiding what it is that we don't want others to see that's become a part of our lives. Are you holding on to something in your life? Some sort of sin that you need to let go of this morning. Have you confessed and repented of your anger that you might hold on to? Have you confessed and repented of any resentment that you might have towards other people or bitterness? That's a hard one for a lot of us. Bitterness that we have when people hurt us. And we justify that, but God doesn't. Are you holding on to bitterness? Or have you turned it over to God? Or fear, or worry, or envy? Have you repented of your lack of faith and trust in God? All those are ways that we honor God this morning as we come to the table. And we certainly honor God by surrendering our life to Him. God desires that we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to Him. Listen, every redeemed person, every disciple of Christ must be a man or a woman consecrated to God, entirely separated to live for Him, for His will, for His work, and for His honor. As a disciple of Christ, that should be our heart's desire. That we live a life that is consecrated to God, entirely separated to live for Him, for His will, for His work, and for His honor. Communion is this marvelous union between us and God. Jesus offers Himself to us, and we offer ourselves to Him. Jesus gives Himself wholly for me, and I give myself wholly for Him. He yielded His life for our lives, and we are to yield our lives for His life. And just a final thought on how we show honor to our God this morning as we come to the table. I think we do it through expressing gratitude to Him. How do we honor God as we come to the table this morning? We examine ourselves, we confess any known sin, we surrender our life, and we express our gratitude for Him being there, being on that cross in my place, in your place. And we express our gratitude to Him for being in this place and in my life today. It is because of His sacrifice, because of His shed blood, because of His suffering, because of His death that we have communion together. God forbid that we should ever forget that. So in the time we have left this morning, before we take communion together, I want to give us an opportunity to prepare for coming to the table. It's going to probably seem a little bit like an eternity because I'm going to ask them not to play any music, not to do any videos or anything like that. But I want to take a minute or two of just silence in the room with our heads bowed for us to have a time to examine ourselves and ask God to examine you. A time for us to confess any sin God shows to you, brings to your mind. To surrender your life to God in every way that you know how to. I think so often we compartmentalize our lives and we'll surrender this portion of our life to God. But this other area we're just not quite ready to do yet. That's not what God asks for. God asks for us to surrender our whole being to Him. So the next couple minutes, as the room is silent, heads are bowed, just spend a few minutes talking to God as we prepare for communion. In Matthew 26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, 'Take and eat this in remembrance of my body.' And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink it, drink all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Lord God, this morning as we come to this all-important moment, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we truly can honor you through this time of communion with you. Lord God, as we take the cup, as we take the bread, the symbolism of your body broken and bruised, may we absolutely remember your love for us. May we absolutely remember that you did that willingly for each one of our lives. But let us also remember, Lord God, that you're not just a God of the past, but you're a God of the present. And that means that you are here with us, that we are taking communion and with you this morning. And we just spent time in prayer, in conversation with you, hopefully honoring you through our gratitude, through our recognition of who you are, through recognizing sin that's a part of our lives and asking for your forgiveness of it. So may this be a time of actually feeling like we're in your presence in communion with you this morning. I pray this in your name. Amen.